Well, it's with great joy that I get to invite our men's leader, David Delaney. Could you put your hands together for David as he comes to minister the word?
Good morning, everyone. Those that don't know me, my name is David Delaney, as pastors just said. And I have the privilege of hosting a Connect group at my house. And so I live in Armidale. And if you know where Chalice Primary School is, then we're close to that. So if you're in that area and you're not going to a Connect group, can I encourage you? Come along to our house every second Wednesday night. We have a Connect group. We've got some great people. We have some great fellowship. We talk about the things of God. And you learn all sorts of things talking to people. I learned about teaching. I know about Papua New Guinea. I've learned about volcanoes, of all things. And so it's a great time of fellowship, great time of studying the word of the Lord. And I can encourage you to do that. So we're just in West Armidale. So if you don't know where that is and you want to come along on Wednesday night, come see me after the service and I'll gladly give you the address. Thank you. The other thing, of course, is the men's breakfast. Come along to that, men. Lots of bacon. Praise the Lord. And the word of God, of course, will be shared and people will be blessed. Men will be ministered to. And men can get together and talk about the things and connect in our hearts. Hallelujah. It's an awesome thing when men get together. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. So I'm just going to pray now. If everybody can just join me in prayer, just bow your head. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, your word is awesome, Lord. You are an awesome God who sets people free, God, who sets captives free, Lord. You can break through in all of our lives, Lord. We ask for your presence in this place this morning, Lord, and we ask you, God, to minister to our lives, Lord. Have your way in the hearts of people in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to set that up there. At 5:45 p.m. on the 30th of April, which is today, 17 years ago, they found two men alive underground after they were trapped there for 5 days. So there was a lot of excitement, of course, above ground, because all of those people who had been working around the clock to retrieve these men finally confirmed that they weren't just doing a recovery operation for bodies, but they're actually doing a rescue operation to bring their colleagues out from the trapped, collapsed mine. At about 9:30 on the 25th of April in 2006, there was this minor earthquake, not a big deal. If you're on the ground, you wouldn't have felt, on the top of the ground, you wouldn't have felt very much. But what it did do is it triggered a rock fall at this mine in Beaconsfield in northern Tasmania. There were three men down working in the level that collapsed. One was Larry Knight, another man was Brant Webb, and the third man was Todd Russell. There were three miners unaccounted for on the surface. And though it was not known at the time, unfortunately Larry Knight had been killed in the initial rock fall, but there were two men still alive, Webb and Russell. The vehicle that they were in was at the end of a run and the rocks had collapsed in on it. They were in what was known as a tally loader or a tally handler, and it had a steel roll cage on it and a cage to protect it from a few falling rocks. They were detected by thermal imaging. There was cameras and a microphone. And they did not want the rescuers to try to dig through to rescue them, because they knew that to cut through the wire on that tally loader could have led to a massive collapse, which would have ended the men's lives. They were under incredible pressure from the rock above. The two men knew that if they cut that cage, they would be killed. Rescues immediately halted the blasting, and instead they drilled a 90-millimetre hole. Some people may remember this happening, because I remember it captivated everybody in the nation for this period of time. And so they drilled a 90-millimetre hole through approximately 14.5 metres of rock to where the miners were trapped. Then they inlaid that with a PVC pipe, and then they used that to deliver fresh water and food and communications equipment to the men. So they were in contact now with the surface. But being alive, being fed, and being in contact with your family isn't the same as being able to hug them and talk to them, is it? So these men were alive, praise the Lord, but they needed to be set free. They needed a breakthrough to come through the rock and set them free. They were facing a very harsh reality. Things were not looking good. There was 800 tons of rock pressing against a roll cage. What these men needed was to be set free so they could once again return, be with their families, and they needed a breakthrough. Yeah. I'm going to read from Psalm 91, starting at verse 1 to verse 10. We should have the scriptures up there if you want to follow along with me. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and their buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh their dwelling." Amen. What a tremendous promise from the Word of God that we have. Because, you know, the world is a perilous place. Rock falls aside when you're working underground. It's a known risk. But just the life that we live in, it's a perilous place out there. Psalm 91 has been very much a staple go-to psalm for me over the last few years. And you can probably work out why, but it talks of facing hard times and what God can do for us in the face of opposition, in the face of the enemy. The first thing I want to focus on there is the snare of the fowler. This is a picture of a trap. So we have a bird trapped in a snare, and the Lord says He'll release thee from the snare. So in Ephesians 6, verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." That English word wiles that we get there, the Greek word that that's translated from is the word methodia. And methodia is where we also get the word method. So when you see a cake recipe, right, it might say, you know, 2 eggs, some flour, some water. But if you just chuck all that into a bowl and give it a stir, it's not going to make it cake. It also has what's called a method. And the method is, you know, first mix the dry ingredients, then add the eggs or beat it, and it'll go through a method, a series of steps that you must follow to get to the end of the cake. Yeah. So that's talking about a method. It's talking about methodia is a method. It's a plan. It implies a logical process and planning. So when it's talking about the wiles of the devil, how many know that there's a very real devil out there? Yeah. And he's a real entity, but it says he has wiles. He has a method. He has planning. He has logic. And he has a plan against the people of God. The snare is a planned trap. The snare of the fowler is an intentional effort by somebody to catch something. And that's what it says the devil's like. He's got these plans, these methods for us. And we say often to people, God's got a plan for you, and it's very true. And believe me, His plans are way better than the devil's plans. But the enemy is out to get us. He has a plan. The second thing I want to look at here is this concept of a noisome pestilence. So one commentator described this noisome pestilence as a devastating plague and implies it's pretty bad. And so there's also this terrors by the night and arrows flying by the day. What a perilous time to live in. People shooting at you. Terrors by the night. Things coming along to destroy your sleep and keep you in fear. In verse 6, there's the pestilence that walk in the darkness. We get it again. So we've got this pestilence creeping around, but now it's in the darkness. And so this is not implying at nighttime when you're asleep. This just means it's crawling around there in the shadows. You literally can't see this thing creeping around. It's rather sleazing around so that you can't see where it's going or where it's been. I think we've had a bit of a revelation of what a noisome pestilence can be over the last few years. But we are reading something here that was written around about 3,000 years ago. Then there's the destruction that wastes at noonday. So the picture is here that this is happening in the middle of the day where everybody can see it. And so you're talking about a calamity here that isn't over in the background, you're not reading about in the newspaper. You're actually seeing it right in front of everybody. Whether that's talking about in that portion about a famine or sickness or some violent event, it was happening in plain sight of everyone. To finish it off, we get a body count. Verse 7, it says, 1,000 shall fall at your side and then 10,000 at your right hand. Like this body count tally building up and up and up all around you. As if we needed that. The world was a pretty perilous place 3,000 years ago, obviously. Secondly, I want to look at where was God in all this time of peril? Because clearly the writer is saying this is all happening all around us. And where was God? And I think before we go into that, there's something that we all need to understand before we look at what God was doing at that time. The thing we all need to understand is that God loves us. And he cares for us. And how can I say that God loves us when there's all these things happening? It's because I know how much he's paid for us. How much he's paid for you. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were doing our own thing, while we weren't paying attention to the things of God, while we were off chasing whatever it was, material wealth, whatever, God died for us. Wow. He paid the price for us to redeem us from that sin. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent Jesus to pay the price for everything we've done wrong so that we can have our sins forgiven and be restored back into a right relationship with God. So that price that was paid was God's own Son, Jesus Christ. That's how much he paid for you. So I can stand here and without any fear of being corrected, that I know that God loves you because I know how much he's paid for you. I can say that with confidence. God loves you. No matter what is happening in the outside world, no matter what is coming against you, that relationship with God is the most important thing in anyone's life. Yes. Have that relationship with God in no matter what has happened. Secondly, we need to understand that God was working then and he's working now. This whole psalm is about how God was delivering people from the snare of the fowler. Verse 3, it says, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Those two men who were trapped at the start of my message, they were trapped underground. Sometimes that's a little bit like us as God's people. We're alive, that's great. Got food, can talk to people. But we feel like there's tons of rock pressing down on us. We're not living in the freedom that God has given us. We're not living in the freedom that God intends us to live in because we're living under the pressure of tons of rock pressing down on us. We can't find any way to move it ourselves. What we need is a breakthrough from God into our lives and to set us free. God was also delivering from the noisome pestilence, that devastating plague. God was there with his people, protecting them, delivering them. He was protecting his people under his wings, it says, from the terrors of the night and the arrows flying by day. His truth, it says, protected like a shield and a buckler. Now, they're two combat weapons. For those that don't know the difference between what a shield and a buckler is, a shield is a large defensive weapon, and what Roman soldiers would do is that they would protect themselves with these shields. They would lift up the shields and it would be able to stop arrows coming in. So this was about 3,000 years ago, the same concept. The shield was a defensive weapon and it was protecting you from things flying in at you from a distance. But the buckler was a little round thing that you wore on your forearm. And when the enemy got up close and personal, that's what the buckler was for, protecting the incoming assaults. When they're right up in your face, your buckler was protecting you. So the darts and the arrows coming in from the assaults, the shield protects you, and the buckler protects you from a full-on frontal assault. It says things that cause others to fall around you won't affect you. What a promise from God. No matter what is happening in this world, God is there with us, and he's by our side. He's protecting us. We're under his wings. So that's what this message is about. God has got this. Doesn't matter what is going on, God has got it. Yeah. We just need that breakthrough sometimes.
Come on.
On the 9th of May in that year, where our miners were trapped under the ground, after 14 nights under the ground, at 4:27 a.m., rescuers reached the two men trapped in the mine at Beaconsfield. How they got there was they tunnelled vertically through 16 metres of rock. And this was quartz rock, and it was five times harder than concrete. So they're drilling through this harder-than-concrete material. Then they tunnelled horizontally underneath the men, and then they came up to where they were, and then they put a very low-impact charge, broke through the rock, solid rock, and then they brought these men out. When these men were brought to the surface, they were still wearing their fluoro jackets that they were trapped in. They'd obviously replaced the batteries in their miners' helmets because they come up and their lights were on. And the rescued men, the first thing they did was they went over to the board where their name tags were and they turned them to safe. Unfortunately, Larry Knight's tag did not get turned. Then they went over to embrace their families. Hallelujah. When asked what prevented 800 tons of dirt and rock from killing these two men, Todd answers promptly. He said, a miracle. He said, a miracle. And a miracle it was. To keep their spirits high, apparently these two men were belting out Kenny Rogers songs. If that isn't a miracle, because if I was on the microphone there listening in and I was hearing them singing Kenny Rogers songs 16 metres underground, I'd be going, too late, we lost them. Call it off. But what a fantastic story of men being rescued from an almost impossible situation. But that's like God with our lives. God wants us to have that breakthrough. He wants us to experience the freedom and the life that he intended us to have. God is for us. Let me read a portion of scripture that's taken from a letter that was written to the people of Israel who were in captivity and exile in Babylon. So this is from the book of Jeremiah. It's Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord." God's got this. But he's got good thoughts for you. He doesn't want bad things to happen to his people. He's always thinking about good things and the best things that can happen. He wants what's best for you. He also wants you to seek him. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to set you free. Life can be hard, and some people are really struggling in so many areas of life. Feel like you've got 800 tons of rock pressing in on you? I don't know what you're going through, but I do know that God does know where you're going, what you're going through.
Yes.
I heard a story of a man, and he was just living by some bins outside of a shopping precinct. And the people that were taking the rubbish to the bins, all the proprietors of the shop, just used to get scared all of the time because this man was living by the bin. The reasons, of course, is that hot food comes out, so there's warmth. It's food, so he can eat it. And it's a place to live away from the wind. But he had to be asked to move on because everybody was being scared when they were going out to the bins late at night. This man had a family, he had a job, and he had a house before this. What he saw was he saw his wife being run over and killed in front of him in his own driveway. He had a son who fell in with the wrong crowd and then rejected him. To numb his pain, he started drinking. He then lost his job. And when you lose your job, you can't afford to pay a mortgage. He couldn't afford his mortgage. He lost his family. He lost his job. He lost his house. And he's living on the streets. I just heard last week this man died of liver failure in a hospital. I just heard his story. I didn't meet him, but I know God loved him. And I hope he found peace in God. They're just living out there, one thing after another just knocked this man down again and again and again. Life can be hard. Some people may be having issues with your health. The enemy can attack us in our bodies. Man, he can come against us. I know some people feel they just get well and then they get knocked down again. Something else. It's horrible to be attacked in this way over and over again. It seems it won't end. You need a breakthrough. Some people might be struggling in their finances. Just when you start to get ahead, something comes along and attacks. In our house, it seemed that things always went in threes. First the fridge died, then it was the freezer, and then it was the washing machine. They gang up. Things come along and strike at your finances to rob you of that peace and security that financial security brings. You need a breakthrough. Some people are just trying to serve God and their own family comes against them. There's strife in the family. Relationships are under attack. We need a breakthrough in those situations. Some people may need a change of work or even just a job to earn a living. It can be hard for some people to get that job, but God has jobs for everyone. God can make a way. He can give you that breakthrough. Some people are struggling with incredible grief over the loss of someone near them. Need a breakthrough. Men are bombarded by just images and this world is just can be so perverse at times and men are struggling with these things. We need a breakthrough. Psalm 91:1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, and my God, in Him will I trust." God wants to be our refuge and our fortress, and He wants us to trust in Him. I just want to read an account of a breakthrough in Jesus' time. This scripture was used as a sermon not too long ago, but I want to read it again. I don't have this one up on the board, but I'm just going to read it out. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Here's a woman who'd been dealing with something for 12 years, a medical condition that had all sorts of physical complications. But there were significant cultural issues that she would have had to have dealt with as well. She shouldn't have been there. She would have had to obey a whole bunch of cultural rules that would have prevented her from being in this situation. But there was the fact that she'd spent so much money trying to solve the issue. Something inside of her got her to the point where she said, "Know what? Today is the day of my breakthrough." So she went and touched Jesus, and she got delivered of that affliction that she'd had for 12 years. It's almost predictable that things are going to happen to us in this life. Challenges are going to come against us. They're different things for a lot of people. Some it's finances, some it's health. Some things want to undermine your very testimony or your faith in Jesus. When challenges do come, we can have the peace to know that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of God's wings, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. No matter what comes at us, we can have confidence that God can help us and God can break through. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to create an opportunity here at the platform to pray for people who need a breakthrough. You know what God wants to do in your life? I don't, but I do know God wants to bring breakthroughs in this place. I really do. But before we do that, I just want to give a challenge, if I may, to everyone in this place. Maybe you're in this place and you haven't had that very first breakthrough of Jesus Christ into your heart. You haven't had that experience of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that God loves you and that He's got a good plan for you. Can I invite you to receive Jesus Christ this morning? So I wonder if we could all just bow our heads, please, quietly. Just want to give an opportunity. Perhaps you're in this place and you've never experienced that joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're right with God, and that God is working in your life. Perhaps you're in this place, you don't have that relationship with God, but you'd like that this morning. Can I just ask you to do one thing? Just raise your hand right where you're seated and we'll see that hand. Amen. We see that hand. Amen. We see that. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your salvation. How many others would there be that would join these honest people who have raised their hand in this place this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. We're all just going to, I'm just going to lead everyone in a prayer this morning. If everybody could just join us in that. If you've raised your hands, then please say this prayer out. It's an invitation for Jesus to save us. So we're all going to pray, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning with a need to be forgiven. I admit that I've done things wrong, and I believe that you died on the cross and rose again the third day. And Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive me for all that I've done wrong. And I want you to help me live for you for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. Amen.